So I just want to let you know that Montezuma's revenge is a real thing.
Don't drink the water, John. Everyone knows that. Don't drink the water.
I don't think I have. I haven't drank the water. I don't know what happened.
It just got inside your innards some other way?
Yeah, just somebody spat on me, I think. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. No, it's
And I mean that in both ways. Like, it's intense down there in Mexico, and it's intense down there in the digestive tract. I don't think
I have a bad case because I've heard of people basically locked in the house for days. I don't feel that at all. But
okay, yeah.
Yeah, Mexico has given me a gift.
I mean, really, that's what Taco Bell's "Make a Run for the Border" motto really is talking about. It's talking about Montezuma's revenge. You got to make a run for the border.
Yeah, it's probably best that we talk about baseball.
Brought to us by our new sponsor, Taco Bell.
They'll love that.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
they'll be
after we
throwing
after
money
we,
our way,
diarrheaed all over Snapple, and ruined that business relationship that we didn't have, that we wanted to have, that didn't work out great because it turned out they have more sugar than Coke.
It's a sugar fest. So that's one of the things down here in Mexico. They put sugar in everything. Everything under the sun has, any liquid has sugar in it. You have to ask for sin azúcar, which is without sugar.
Okay.
It's for pretty much everything, because you taste, the first taste, like iced tea, it's like, it's more sugar than tea.
Okay.
So you have to always ask for no sugar. And they kind of look at you funny. And Coke, everybody drinks Coke.
Do they have a diabetes problem down there, or is it just sort of offset by some?
I'm thinking they do. I think they do. There's got to be some connection. There's got to be some health implications.
Going to have to send Wilford Brimley down there to straighten him out with some oatmeal.
So this is episode 87 of Foul Territory, a baseball podcast. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Dan Otero episode. We're going deep.
Okay.
There's only two players to have ever worn number 87, Dan Otero and Jose De Leon. Jose De Leon may be more of a familiar name, unless you're an A's fan or a Giants fan. But Otero has the higher WAR. It actually is a plus on the plus side.
Well, Otero's still pitching, right?
He is actually still pitching.
Okay.
Yeah, he's with the Indians as we speak.
That's right. That's right.
But he wore this number 87 with the Giants in his rookie season, which makes sense.
I see. Got it. I mean, really, that's what we're into right now is the numbers that rookies wear.
Right.
Like rookie
we've been in that range
numbers.
For a while.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we hit the 60s, you start getting into the rookie world and the obscure folk, the weirdo numbers like Yasiel Puig.
Well, yes.
Likes the big numbers.
Yeah. Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, yeah. That's the opposite of Yasiel Puig, 66, 99.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you threw me when you said 66 is the opposite of 99.
No, I mean, just flip them.
Okay, good. Because mathematically, I'm not sure that
it's
that's
the same.
Accurate. Okay.
It wouldn't it be? But the opposite of 66 is 66.
I don't know that numbers actually have opposites. I think that's the sort of bigger issue here.
It's the reflection.
It would be something alphabetical would maybe be the opposite of a number.
Yeah, because if it's a flip, you'd have to turn it upside down and mirror it in order for 66 to be a 99.
And that's our newest episode on the new segment on the podcast called Actually. Actually, John, there's no opposite for a number. Okay.
So we got some big headlines going on. We're the percolating the warm stove that has been a big part of last year, and we are in the early part this year. But it's percolating. More trades happening left and right.
Before we get into that, John, I gotta say, retraction from last week's episode. Last week's episode, I made a claim that it actually wasn't that hot of a stove. And I don't really know what I was thinking at the time. Maybe I was just trying to be an edgelord and trying to get the clicks and the views and to get people riled up. This is actually a really hot stove.
Yeah.
Like, I actually burned my hand on this hot stove a couple times. That's how hot it is.
No, we can thank the Phillies, the Mets, the Mariners. It's happening.
I was listening to our podcast, as I do sometimes just for quality control, and I heard me say something about how it's very cool, just like last winter, which, by the way, was the coldest actual winter in real life, but then also a very cold hot stove because there weren't that many great players, and some players got screwed.
And it was spread out.
And it was very spread out, and pushed later, and we were worrying about it, and everyone was like, when will these players find a home? What are we going to do? What's our team going to do? And fast forward, whichever, you know, depending on what kind of movie you're watching. So flash forward, this is actually a Josh Donaldson had signed, and I was like, oh, nothing's happened. Like a third baseman, a former MVP, signed for $23 million a year. Granted, 1 year, but still, $23 million a year. This is a warm stove, and now it's blazing hot.
Right. All trades a flurry. More trades than we probably could have predicted.
Yeah. And once
one knew that the Mariners were going to basically blow up the whole team.
Well, they were saying retool, but this is a rebuild. Right.
This is a total rebuild.
This is a rebuild.
But DePoto's latest is that, well, the reason why we got rid of the players that we did is they're going to be in their declining cycle when we hit our stride, which should be in 21-22.
Yeah. But it's still a rebuild. Like, it's not a,
retool. I think he's trying to sell it to the fan base.
Yeah.
No. Rebuilds are 5-year-long projects, and this is not a rebuild. We'll be competitive in two years.
Is the fans of baseball have gotten more and more into prospects and farm teams, and like, it's a big part of the game now. And the Mariners went from maybe dead last to at least the top 10 now. At least
they have three top 50 prospects now.
Yeah, this is a very good farm team all of a sudden, and with very good high end players that can contribute in the
within
near
the
future.
Next 2 years.
Yeah, and some will be up this year. Like they'll just be part of the team this year. And they're talking about so they traded away. We'll get into all the different trades, but they traded Cano, Diaz, Zunino,
Segura.
And Segura, those were like, and then some relief pitchers moved around,
right?
And they got back Carlos Santana and prospects. And Carlos Santana, they're already talking about shopping him around, which they should. There's no reason for them to have that contract, $20 million a year. I mean, if I was a Mariners fan, I would be excited about this because I think right now the American League is so top heavy with the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Astros and the
Dodgers
owned
in the American League.
Did I say Dodgers?
The Red Sox.
Okay, sorry. I mean the team that beat the Dodgers in the World Series, the Red Sox. I'm going to tell you right now, John, I got a little bit of a sinus thing happening. You may be able
and
to
it
hear
sounds
it.
Like you've had a little bit of coffee this morning, too.
I'm trying to offset the sinus thing with caffeine. And I'm frankly, right now, I'm a little geeked up.
It's good. It's going to make for a great show.
I sure hope so. Anyway, forgive me if I call the Red Sox the Dodgers, especially Dodgers fans, because, sorry, 2 years in a row. Come on. I apologize. I know it's hard. I didn't do it on purpose. Anyway, so the American League is very top-heavy, and for the Mariners to, like, and also let's not forget about the Athletics. And then the Angels are kind of still have Mike Trout. You can't count them out.
And the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And Ohtani.
And
Pujols.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a good argument against. But then you also have teams like the Rays, who won 90 games last year, didn't even make the playoffs. Now's a good time to say, you know what? We don't have a great team.
They don't. And they would have been competing.
Let's rebuild it.
Yeah. And they're not done.
Yeah.
They're going to eat some of Seager's contract. He'll be gone before the end of the winter stove or hot stove season is over.
I think they're going to keep him into the season. I think his value is so far down. It's just keep him half a season. See if he can get that on-base percentage up above 300. Like, get somewhere near the value that he used to have. Otherwise, you just have to eat the whole thing. So why not just wait a few months and then see if you don't have to eat the whole thing?
Yeah, that's possible.
And then,
but even if they get lower-level prospects so they can just keep, you know, I think that's kind of his mentality right now is that I guess the bigger question is who's going to play third base. That would be a pretty significant question. They'd have to get that piece filled.
John, if you were there, you could do it.
I could.
Sounds like they're going to have a pretty open strategy going into the
anybody
season.
Anybody can go in.
Maybe it should be like
rebuilding.
A fan thing. Like that'll keep the fans
coming
out.
Rotating fans.
You come
pitching
out to the
matchups.
Game, you might be playing third base for the Seattle Mariners.
Jay Bruce, who was acquired in the Cano-Diaz trade, was interviewed yesterday, and he said he's been told by management that he will be a Mariner in 2019 because there were some rumors that he was going to be flipped as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they got a good offer for him, I think Jay Bruce still has some value. But if they got a good offer for him, they'd trade him. But that's that position, the corner outfield, that's just so hard that all those players last year didn't get very much money. And
right. He is a candidate, if he returns to his 2017 levels, he will be flipped.
Midseason, by the All-Star trade him back to the Mets for their playoff run.
Right. But the Mets are all in, and the Cardinals are all in. And
the Phillies
Yankees
are all in.
And the Red Sox and the Phillies and the Nationals, they're all in. Everybody's all in.
So the Mets get Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz, and I like this trade for the Mets. I know they gave up.
Brody's making good on his promise, though.
I think they paid less for those players in value than what they got back. I think that they gave up good players. They didn't give up their best prospect, by the way, right. Andres
Jimenez.
Which I
thought for sure. What about McNeil? McNeil? Is that the second baseman?
Yeah, but he's not a prospect anymore. So
he was up last year.
And then Pete Alonso is so basically they gave up their second and their fourth best prospects. But their first and their third they got to keep, so they still have those to shop around because it's Pete Alonso first base, right-hander, by the way, finally for the Mets, a right-hander. And then, of course, they're talking about they're in on the Real Muto, but I don't know that they need Real Muto. Also, if you're going to – all these teams are looking to trade for Real Muto. Isn't Wilson Ramos, like
– he's pretty good.
80% of Real Muto? Like, why not just sign him? You don't have to give up any players. Anyway –
but the rumor was that the Marlins were pushing hard for Conforto to be included in that deal.
Yeah.
And the Mets were like, yeah, sorry.
And, of course, that's my favorite Nimmo. Met player. That's
– yeah.
I would be so
Brandon
sad.
Brandon Nimmo has been talked about as the centerpiece for a trade for Real Muto, but the Marlins want Conforto.
Right.
And I'm not quite 100% sure what the Marlins are doing. And that meme that was posted yesterday was absolutely hysterical.
Oh,
the dabbing meme?
Yeah.
It was absolutely hysterical. Folks, check it out. Foul Territory on Facebook or Baseball Memes on Facebook. It's a classic.
Yeah. True representation of the National League is East. But if you look at look at this balance shift of then the Phillies got Gene Segura, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they upgrade their shortstop position, which makes you wonder are they still interested in Manny Machado, but maybe to play third base, but not shortstop?
Yeah.
We'll see. But they finally fixed this problem. They got rid of Santana so they can move Rhys Hoskins back to first base. They just increased the value of all of their starting pitchers. Like all of their starting pitchers, their ERA just went down 0.2. For all you fantasy baseball people out there, pitchers with bad defenders give up more runs than pitchers with good defenders. I know it's going to sound like science, but it really is that simple.
It is.
It's going to sound like magic, actually, if you think about it.
But then that kind of also opens the door for Bryce Harper to slot in.
And also, there's a hole in the outfield that Bryce Harper could fit, though they also do have the outfield prospects and players necessary to fill themselves. So can you fill oneself? I don't know.
But then if that's true and they sign Harper, that means they have assets to go out and get a third baseman.
Or they can monkey around with, this Michael Franco situation and
failed,
see how that plays
failed
out.
Scenario so yeah. far.
And they still
so
have
far.
Scott Kingery and
he plays everywhere.
And Cesar Hernandez. Is that
his
name?
He's
underrated.
Underrated, but he's never going to give you the power numbers. He's doing the on base. He's hitting for average.
Someone needs to get on base. Someone's going to need to score when Bryce Harper hits a home run or Manny Machado hits a double to left. Someone's got to be on base. So why not Cesar Hernandez? He's very underrated player in fantasy and in
I had him for a while a few seasons ago.
That's right.
That's good.
That's right. Really helped. Really helped your team.
Yeah. Solidified my middle of the pack.
Solidified 10th place.
No, I think I was in 6th that year.
Whoa, John.
6th or 7th. I am moving up in the world.
Yeah.
And then I moved down significantly.
Yeah, but you and I are going to have to talk about
my team.
You and I are going to have to talk about a trade this offseason. We're going to have to work something
Sounds
out.
Sounds good. Awesome. You want to take advantage of me? Is that what you're saying?
No. I want you to take advantage of me, John.
Oh, you have somebody you need to get rid of is what you're saying.
No, I have somebody I want. I have somebody I need.
On my team?
Yeah.
A prospect?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you know who that is.
The player that you traded to me?
No.
You want him back?
No.
I'd have to look at my roster.
Yeah, you have to
it's
look.
Not fresh in
John,
my mind.
How do you not have it memorized? This is why you're in ninth place.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it's not a priority for me.
This is why you're in 11th place.
I have not looked at my roster since I think I set up all the trade.
Block. I have not looked at my roster since this morning.
I know. I'm sure you look at your roster on a your rosters, make that plural, across multiple leagues on a daily basis.
How dare you, John? You can't prove that. I mean, unless you had any sort of access to my computers or a camera set up on me at all, ever, or you were just having to be standing next to me while I was on the subway.
Looking at your phone, at your roster.
Looking at my roster on my phone.
So we do have a bevy of other activity that's been
Did we cover
on.
All these? We didn't do Goldschmidt
No.
yet.
No. Goldie and Corbin.
Well, I wanted to say one more
thing
about I want to say one more thing about this Mariners trades. Look at the shift of talent that they have just put into the National League East.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is significant that now you have the Braves, who were outperforming, and not outperforming, but exceeding expectations. So they're up there. They won the division last year. The Nationals, who underperformed, who, by the way, are still making additions to their team to improve themselves regardless of Bryce Harper. Then you have the Phillies getting better. And then you have
the Mets getting better.
And yet, this is a four-team race in this division. It's like a legitimate race. Meanwhile, the National League West kind of like divesting itself of some of the Bumgarner may be traded. So you got the Padres and the Giants being kind of easy outs.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockies are tough. They're always going to be – they have a really nice core right now. But now we have the Diamondbacks – retooling. That looks more like a retool than a rebuild, because they trade off Goldschmidt who to the Cardinals. Big get for the Cardinals. They paid a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
for a one-year rental.
And maybe they're hoping, like, well, we get him and then we can talk him into staying and we can give him a huge contract or whatever. But they paid a lot. They gave up 6 years of, what's his name, Carson Kelly? The catcher, who was blocked by Yadier Molina, because he's always blocking things, right? That's his job as a catcher.
That's his job.
And he's blocking this guy's job. And the Cardinals also have another prospect, a catching prospect, coming up. So it's sort of like, oh, that might time out better to replace, you know, Molina in a year or two. And you got this guy, Kelly, who's a very good prospect and is alone would be worth Paul Goldschmidt. Like, the value there is – but then they also got Luke Weaver, who was a little down last year – but the year before was a breakout.
Right.
Like, so this guy could go right into the starting rotation for the Diamondbacks, and they got another prospect, and they got another draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And now in the St. Louis Cardinals' defense of giving up all of that, they are getting an MVP-level first baseman that's an elite hitter and defender, which was a problem for the I think it had 20 errors at first base, the Cardinals last year. 20 errors. Anyway, so Goldschmidt will bring that down, again, improving the pitching. Keep in mind, fantasy baseball fans, improves the pitching right away.
And it's high on-base percentage, too.
Super high. And he had that slow start where he got all mental for a month and didn't hit a home run. And then after that, 25 home runs, 450 on-base percentage.
Like, yeah, I think it's awesome. Over the last 5 years, only Votto has a higher on-base percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... he's a really great addition. They paid a ton, but if he walks away at the end of the year, free agency, they at least get the compensation draft pick.
True.
So it's, I mean, they have to re-sign him in order to justify the deal to me, but they don't have to justify the deal to me because I'm just a guy with a podcast.
Well, the thing, though, is that I read somewhere, one of the headlines was the Cardinals are all in. I think they need more than just that.
Well, they need another pitcher.
Right. So their pitching is where they need help. Was it three, 4 years in a row that they haven't made the playoffs? So this is a drought for the Cardinals.
Yeah, but it's definitely – I mean, this is a move like they're in the game.
Yeah, but I still think they're a notch below the Cubs and the Brewers at this point.
Oh, for
so
sure.
I think they need to do more.
This has to be the first step. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Like this can't be their only move. Like,
right, yeah.
Then the good news then for them is there's a ton of pitching available, like really good pitching. Mm-hmm. And it's just that kind of question of, like, where will it all settle? Nate Eovaldi, Dallas Keuchel, J.A. Happ, or Jay Happ, I think he's called, right? It's not J.A.
They're calling, calling him Jay now.
Yeah. And then what's the other? And then there's the Kikuchi, right? Which mm-hmm. sounds delicious.
I had that for breakfast this morning.
Coming from Japan, and he's got good numbers, and there's Bumgarner available in trade, and there's other. Like, there's a lot of guys out there. You can kind of just wait for it all to sell. Looks like Eovaldi might wind up back with the Red Sox. I think that's appropriate since what a performance he put on in the World Series. Mm-hmm. Saving
that's somebody
that
who's going to parlay a week's performance into a big payday.
Yeah. Well, also he was impressive for the Red Sox.
Right.
But off and on, like the, I will say, sometimes he got lit up.
The spotlight was on.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's always been his thing, is that when his fastball flattens out, he gets hit.
Yeah.
When he's not locating, he gets hit. Yeah. And he,
but that
I mean,
splitter, man, it's so nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to be worth the expense. And I think it seems like the Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros are in. His hometown Astros would be his hometown team.
Okay.
The Yankees are willing to go back to the Eovaldi coffers, but not at the price point that he's going to wind up. So they're going to lose out on their second.
I think the
pitcher.
Yankees are just dabbling in that just to keep the price up. That's all. I don't think they want. The Yankees are not the kind of team to bring someone back that they've already gotten rid of like mm-hmm. that. Like, I don't see that. I guess they did. They did.
Well,
get
they
Chapman,
got burned though. By him because he got hurt. Yeah. So that was a big loss for them. They paid him a lot of money to not play.
Yeah, but I'm like that with fantasy baseball. I understand people. It's not the same thing. But if I have a player that I trade away or dump, I tend to not want to trade back for that person or spend any time or resources getting that player back. It's just a mental thing where you're just like, no, I don't. You know what? I was wrong about that. I don't want to be wrong about that twice.
So the Yankees were burned big time by the Patrick Corbin signing.
Yes, I was surprised. I thought he was going to the Yankees.
Really, what it comes down to, though, is who's willing to step up and do that extra year and that extra $25 to $30 million. That's everything.
Right, but you know,
from
the
player's point
about
of view,
Corbin's it's a 6-year, $140 million contract, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing is like with all the deferrals, which the Nationals love doing. The present day value of the contract is just under $100 million,
and that's what the Yankees wanted to do. They wanted to do 5 years, 25, or 5 years, 25, or five. Yeah, 5 years, 20. Actually, but that doesn't make sense. They wanted to do $100 million, 5 years at $100 million.
Yeah,
so it would have been roughly the same.
Yeah,
and then the argument there could be is like, well, you would have had that year to parlay into another contract if you were still performing, because he'd only be 34.
Right.
Or is he's 29 or 31?
No, he's 29.
29. So, yeah, he would have been able to. He'd still be. I mean, it seems that the healthy pitchers are pitching well into their 30s, and they're getting big deals as a result of it. And that's going to happen more and more because starting pitchers are only going to be asked to go 5 innings.
But I always wonder if a player thinks about this with the numbers, right? Like, is it a 6-year, $140 million, but because of the deferrals, it's actually less? Or is that something that's sort of like a mathematical equation that doesn't actually work out? Like, he's still going to have gotten $140 million. What does it matter whether he gets them in his 40s?
Right.
Maybe that's even better for a player, you know? Like, I saw
just
the Red
that
Sox.
The money's rolling in.
Next year, the Red Sox start paying Manny Ramirez some deferred money.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid.
Famously, $1 million a year for 25 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good life.
But just to know you always have that coming, no matter if you do bad investments or, you know, you give away too much to your family or whatever. You still got, I got that $4 million deferred coming in 2023.
It's his couch money.
But anyway, I was very surprised that the Nationals stepped up, though they were on the list. And sure enough.
But you think about that rotation now.
Yeah.
That's
as good as any.
top of the game rotation at this point.
I mean, that's right up there with the Indians, with the Kluber, Carrasco, and Bauer.
Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, does that remove Harper from signing, re-signing?
Well, this is what they're saying, right? They're saying Harper is still in play because he's sort of like a non-budget expense. Like, he's an extraordinary expense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like what they did with, who was that? Ah, I blew the whole joke. The catcher that they had.
Weeders.
That money that Boris talked the Nationals owner into giving Weeders for 2 years.
Right.
That was supposed to be a joke because that was such a terrible waste of money.
Well, the Lerner family likes to spend a lot of money, so they don't seem to have a problem with paying the luxury tax.
They don't seem to be learning their lesson.
No, they don't. But, you know, it gets to the point where Rizzo's like, he just says, yeah, just talk to the Lerners.
Yeah.
It's not my game. So Boris has that relationship.
But again, if you sign, and now this is what I would do if I was the Nationals, I'd sign Harper and then trade away Victor Robles.
Right.
Specifically, I would trade away. I think Robles is the guy that I would trade because he's high end prospect, and yes, those are valuable. But you have all the other things you need, and mm-hmm. what are you going to do? Have four outfielders? That doesn't work. There's no DH in the National League, so
right. So that's the part that's hopefully. I think it starts this week, tomorrow or weekend. This weekend is the winter meetings, and.
Yeah.
I've unfortunately, for the first time in years, will not have access to the MLB network, which I pretty much had on every minute of the day for that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in particular.
Yeah.
Because that's when all the action was happening. So I'm going to have to monitor from afar.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like an app you can get, like maybe MLB Trade Rumors has an app.
Yeah, if anybody is interested in giving me their login to their cable network so that I could watch, that would be greatly appreciated. Because that's all I need is a login.
FBI, please disregard this comment.
So, yeah.
Just international fraud, that's all.
Just, you know, yeah, it's okay. It's all good.
All right, John.
It's all good.
John, why don't you stick to being a drug mule, all right?
So we've got still quite a long list here of things that we should go through.
Let's rock and
so
roll.
So who is Merrill Kelly? I don't even know who Merrill Kelly is.
Okay, so Merrill Kelly is... he was a player with the Rays, and he did one of those, I'm going to go to Korea and play there because they'll actually give me a shot. And he goes to Korea, and he played there for, I think, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple years was, like, kind of awesome.
Like,
had a mid-threes ERA, which is huge in the Korean League because it's a very hitter-friendly league. And so now he's signed with the Diamondbacks on a 2-year deal or something like that, 3-year deal. And maybe it's going to be the next Miles Michaelis. Michaelis.
Do you remember, was it Randy Bass back in the day who went over there after, you know, being a flame out in Major League Baseball and became a cult hero and a huge success over in Japan? I wonder if, you know, players go over there, have that experience, and then they want to get back to the show and they're not in the limelight anymore, if that has an impact on their psyche.
I mean, if you're really interested, you should watch the movie Mr. Baseball, starring Tom Selleck.
Uh-huh. It's that story.
No. I mean, it sort of is. But yeah, no, it's fascinating. I actually was looking at when Euculus was going to Japan for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I actually
mm-hmm.
thought that would make an interesting documentary and was sort of piecing together some stuff and didn't get the support I was looking for from the resources that I have.
No. It's like, come on, man.
No, it would just be financial. It would just financial. Because it's, you know, it's tough to scrape together, you know, 50 grand, 100 grand for a...
Sure, it is. I can vouch for that. Not an easy process by any means. A lot of people say they're interested and then they're...
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah, those checkbooks don't come out... The checkbook goes into hiding. But anyway, but it's a very fascinating thing. Like the American star... The American flame out goes to whichever, you know, it's very fascinating. It's just such a different world. And then to succeed where you once, you know, in there where you, and you failed in the U.S. and then do you come back and interesting.
Yeah. That would make for an interesting documentary film.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. This is kind of like a non-event because we all expected that the Dodgers would extend Dave Roberts.
I think at one point we were saying that he was extended, or at least that they were just finalizing the negotiations.
Right. And it's foregone conclusion, more or less. But on the flip side, Joe Madden's hasn't been extended, and his son's getting pissed off about it.
Yeah, his son's going on Twitter and I think Instagram and like talking trash about Dave Roberts having lost two World Series, and my dad won a World Series, and Dave Roberts says he's lost two. And look, for the Dodgers' sake, you know, Roberts did lose two, yes, and maybe he had made some questionable moves, and maybe his reliance on Kenley Jansen needs to be addressed in the offseason, but he got him to two World Series. Like, that's you should get a contract extension if you get your team. I mean, even Ron Washington,
right,
as bad a manager as he was, even he deserved to be kept on for an extension.
But Joe Girardi's got to be like, WTF, you know? I got this team that nobody thought was going to be, was still a year or two away to the AL championship, and I get fired.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's how it goes. Suck it!
So anyway, so Joe Madden's son is, necessarily speaking on behalf of Joe Madden, but yeah, Joe Madden should probably get an extension. I feel like if you break the curse... Like, I always felt this about the Red Sox guys. Like, they should just be allowed to stay there for as long as they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess there's a certain point.
There's more of that, you know, what have you done for me lately type of thing. And with, you know, the assets that they have, they should have been a little bit more, they should have been in a better position last year. Chris Bryan had an awful year. Injuries, sure, but a real huge down year for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pitching was awful. The acquisition of what's his name in particular from the Rockies was
Freeland?
Awful.
Is that what it is?
No. The what was his name?
Oh, that guy
just had an office like 6 point something ERA.
Yeah. That was total, they're right. The guy where they're like, wrong. When as soon as he gets out of Coors Field, he'll be a much better pitcher.
Right, not
or the opposite.
Right,
maybe he needs that humidor, man.
So some lower level activity. Well, I guess it's Garrett Richards is hopefully going to be on the comeback trail and signed with the Padres.
Yeah, so he signed with the Padres. He's out for 2019 with the Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this. I think two guys last year was it Drew Smyly and Michael Pineda.
Pineda.
They both had Tommy John last year, or you know, 2018. But signed contracts before the season, going into basically for this year, this coming year. I'm already saying this year. It's not 2019.
Not here yet.
But it's, you know what? Enough. With all this caffeine coursing through my veins, it's like, no, it's the future.
But yeah, I think the hope there is that you're going to catch lightning in a bottle. They'll come back. You know, usually, though, it's the second season. So your first year back is the reintroduction. The second season after that is usually when you see the return to, if there is a return.
If there's a return, yeah. Anyway, it's $15 million. I feel like, should the Padres be doing this? I don't, it feels like a bit of a, like maybe $10 million. That's what Pineda and Smyly got. They got $10 million. I don't know.
Well, they're said to be in on a few trades, and they've got the coffers to the prospects to make trades.
Absolutely. They were said to be in on Syndergaard, though I think that all – I don't know why the Mets would be trading Syndergaard, but maybe that was just something that was floated out there and it just kind of got ahead of everyone. But you would think that the Padres would be a great place to trade with, because not only do they have a lot of prospects, but I always find – that teams that have so many prospects are a little more willing to give up higher quality prospects because they're like, well, we just have so many. And the Padres have so many prospects. Like, they're by far the best system in baseball.
I thought I saw something about them being linked to Bumgarner.
That would be a bad move, because what do they need him for a year for? But, like, they have like, quality. The only big problem the Padres have is that Eric Hosmer signing. That's a big waste, because now you got to put Will Myers is going to play third. They got the best shortstop prospect in baseball, Fernando Tatis Jr., who they got for James Shields. Do you remember that trade? With the White Sox? The White Sox gave up who is now the best shortstop prospect. Keith Law has him as the best prospect in baseball for James Shields. But they have, and at second base, they have a top 20 prospect. And in the outfield, they have all these great players. And they have so much pitching coming, like so many great. And again, it's like the Braves with, you know, you can, you know, what's the old saying? There's no such thing as a pitching prospect. But when you have like a dozen of them, three are going to hit. It's when you have one that it's like, well, that probably won't hit.
Right.
Or you can be like the Braves and all of them are hitting. Like all of the pitching prospects for the Braves have done well. Though Gohara is a little disappointing, but then he got injured. No one cares. All right, moving on.
Couple of non-tender headlines.
Yes. Shocking.
Yeah. Billy Hamilton and Jonathan Scope.
Very surprising. The Reds have been sort of trying to trade Hamilton.
No takers.
And no, they were actually turning down trades.
Were they?
They were like, nah, that's not enough. And then at a certain point, I think then it was like, oh, yeah, no. Because he's at that speed, right? That crazy speed. So he's a great
speed,
defender.
Awful on base percentage.
Great on bases, but hard to get him on base.
On base, right. Great running the bases, but he has to get there first.
Yeah.
Yeah, the defense is elite.
Yeah. But and if I was a team like the Mariners or the Marlins or whatever, unless you've got of course they all have center fielders, but a team who needs a center fielder is the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not re-signing Pollock. You get Hamilton, and you see if you can turn him around a little bit. If you could just get his on-base percentage to like 310, or you just get it over 300.
That's probably five more stolen bases.
Oh, and then the steals. Get him on base and the steals. Oh, and just bat him eighth in front of a pitcher.
Yeah.
That's going to increase his on-base percentage a little bit because they'll be more likely to walk him occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Though there are some teams that factor that out, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
That factor out the speed?
No, they factor out the walks that a number eight hitter gets in front of a pitcher. They don't consider that a skill
of the player. No. But there's value when you can afford to put a player in that spot.
Right.
If there's, you know, seven other guys in front of them that are performing.
Exactly. And I think the Reds' big mistake was always batting him leadoff because, like, that's what you do with the fast guy is, like, you always bat him leadoff. And then I think that creates added pressure on a hitter like that. And then you just bat him eighth.
Yeah, back in the day.
I love this thing that some teams do where they bat him ninth and move the pitcher up, and it's like an additional leadoff guy.
Yeah, yeah. You give up one at bat, but you still have speed at the top of the order the second time.
Yeah.
And beyond through. I remember back in the day, the shortstop used to almost always bat eighth.
Yeah.
Always was the eighth spot in the order. And that was because they were little guys. Now they're not little guys anymore. Most of them are not little guys anymore. Let's see what else. Oh, so yeah, big news in the political world. The Red Sox accepted an invitation to the White House.
I thought this was great. Because, you know, Alex Cora, Puerto Rican, right? Outspoken. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you deal with this guy in the White House, is you go and you talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. You can get whatever you want if you just don't be combative with him.
Right.
He'll give you whatever you want.
He'll probably get a under-the-table payment to send off to Puerto Rico. You know, he'll do whatever he wants he could get, because I think Trump's going to be falling all over himself because somebody's actually going.
Yeah, no, he's going to be like, wow, and like I'm a New York guy, but I'm definitely a Red Sox fan today. Right. And like, it's going to be great. I mean, look, obviously there are going to be some players who don't go out of blah 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 blah. But the way that you deal with someone like that is he's an ego guy.
Mm-hmm.
Stroke his ego a little bit. You get whatever you want. Work for Kim Kardashian. She got that lady out of jail.
Right.
Trump just is like, yeah, thanks for coming by the White House. Who do you want out of jail? Good. Give me a list. I'll get them all out.
So we have a couple of ballpark headlines. which is kind of exciting. If you're an A's fan and you've been following this for the last 18 years,
yes,
they've been promising a new stadium every season under the Wolf ownership, and now the new ownership is saying we're staying in Oakland. And the proposal that they released earlier this week was a pretty fascinating-looking stadium by the water.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's a gorgeous waterfront thing, which is becoming a theme. But mm-hmm. it's a waterfront thing, and it just looks like you'd want to go even if you weren't a baseball fan,
right? Just to check it out. Yeah, that would be nice to know that they're staying, because you have the Raiders that are leaving, you have the Warriors that are going across the bay, and the A's will be the only game in town.
Yeah, and they're a good team too. Like they're the time is right. Like It's so unfortunate that they have to play in that stadium. I just feel like the dependence on public money for this stuff, especially in a state like California that is so poorly run financially and like always near bankruptcy and so terribly financed, that like you just need an owner to come in and he's going to build something. And I don't know where they're looking at the money on here, but they just need to build it. They need to say like, The league needs to step in. The league has $1 billion they could throw at this thing.
But they've been saying that for, again, it's 18 years.
No, I know, but I just like, it needs a group effort. I don't like teams relocating. And I know that they, you know, there's a bunch of teams that are like, well, we need some stadium upgrades, or we're going to be looking at this Portland site.
Right.
You know, and I hate that so much, because it's like, you know, I think
The Marlins did. They talked to Vegas, Portland, and San Antonio, and let them go all in, and that's how they wound up getting the local, you know, funding.
Because the stadium. I think that the studies that say that there's no benefit, like actual fiscal benefit to a team, I think that's wrong. I think there is a benefit to having a sports franchise.
I think so too.
It's a net positive. If you want to run the numbers, the problem with numbers is you can always twist numbers, and you can always run a study that says it's a positive, and you can always run a study that says it's a negative. But I think that just generally speaking, communities like to have, look at Green Bay. That's not a huge town or there's more people in the stadium than there that live in the town of Green Bay, but it's more about a community. And I think that adds a big value to a city, not necessarily to the city, but to the citizens of the city.
Sure. And with the Packers, that's the team is owned by the community.
Right.
So that helps too, because they've invested in their team, and you know, that's a different scenario. But yeah, that's a perfect example of a small market that probably has one of the most amazing fan bases.
Yeah. And you know, I think if Oakland had, like, it's a degraded stadium. You can't be obsessed with the team if you are afraid to go, like, you're going to get tetanus if you go to the stadium. You know, and they have all these stories about the sewage backing up in the clubhouse. Like,
into the clubhouse and dugouts.
That's just bad. Come on, that's gross.
And then I saw a headline saying that now with the announcement of the new ballpark potential, that, you know, hopefully they'll save the Coliseum. I mean, like, hopefully they'll bury that thing as quickly as they possibly can.
You know what they should do is they should just scorch it to the ground, and then, you know, grab like a cup full of the rubble and save that part of the Coliseum.
Yeah, sell it inside of a keychain or a necklace, or, you know, I own a part of the Raiders dynasty or the A's dynasty or the Warriors. I guess they're going to be tearing that Oracle
just
Arena
salt
down.
Salt the earth on which it stood. You know what I mean? Like
Turn it into something useful and that doesn't smell like a cesspool.
Yes, I'm assuming that the new stadium does come with better sewage.
Better plumbing.
Or at least you just dump it into the water, right?
That's right,
it's on the waterfront. They're just like, hey, just in case things back up, it'll just stream into the water.
So Portland has also been dabbling in the franchise acquisition of an existing team or expansion, and they have a strong push going on right now, in the same way that Seattle did for basketball and hockey. They're really putting all of the ducks in a row to be in a number one slot when there is expansion or a possibility of a team moving, which I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I think we're past the stage of teams moving. I feel like that was like a very 90s thing. right, with the NFL. And so the Major League Baseball was sort of like, oh, yeah, we can just threaten it and get our way. Mm-hmm. And but here's the thing. Let's just expand. I want two more teams. It balances out the league to get us to 32, which makes it so much easier for scheduling and all that. Give me two more teams. Come on. You get one in North Carolina, one in Portland. I don't know, San Antonio, Las Vegas. One of those guys has got to be good enough. Let's just do it. There's plenty of talent in the league. I know some people are like, oh, there's not enough. Like, come on. The sport has never been doing better. Mm-hmm. Seize the opportunity. Get a firmer. What I would do is I'd run the numbers on where do we not have enough baseball fans? Where are we not capturing enough of the market? And that's where you put a team, because then it's like, oh, okay, well, we've just expanded baseball's presence. Mm-hmm. Not
I'm
just that
Laramie,
team.
Wyoming.
You know what, John? Don't even. You know what? I've had enough of this.
Butte, Montana.
I like my favorite thing about Butte, Montana is there's some guy out there who named that town. He's like, no, it's pronounced Butte. It's pronounced Butte. No. It's not Butte. It's Butte.
Well, we'll see what happens next in Portland, but they announced plans for a waterfront ballpark and
waterfront
location has been secured for it, and yeah, they're all in.
Yeah,
kind of like
only,
the Cardinals.
The thing is, when you go to the game, it'll be they could call themselves the Portland Antifa.
Is it Antifi for plural?
I think it's Antifi. Antifi. Yeah.
Let's move on to starting nine.
Yeah.
The passing of author, playwright, screenwriter William Goldman. You have a tribute. Nine players with William Goldman film names.
Yes. William Goldman, one of the great screenwriters of all time, responsible for some of the best movies out there, and also quite a prolific script doctor.
And he's got his fingerprints all over some of the big films back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah, big time. All right, here we go. So first of all, from his book and then his screenplay, Luis the Princesa Bride.
There you go.
Luisessa the Princess Bride. Casey Misery.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the screenplay for Misery.
I didn't know he did that one.
Yeah. Great film. Terrifying film.
Mm-hmm. My ankles hurt just thinking about it. Just,
yeah, the hobbling. I actually tweaked my ankle on a dog toy the other day. Pretty great.
Oh,
getting older is fun. Next one is Kurt Butch Casale and the Sunny Dance Gray Kid. So we got fun. Kurt Casale and Sunny Gray mixed in there.
Yes.
In a double. Aaron Alther, President's Men.
There you go.
Nomar Mazarathon Man.
There you go. Another good one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Another one. Dentists, right? Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe? Right? Ouch. Marathon Man. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch Marathon Man. But go to the dentist before you go see Marathon Man.
Yeah.
Not
you
after.
You may not ever go back.
Martin the Great Waldonado Pepper.
Oh, I didn't know he wrote that, too. I love that movie.
Great Waldo Pepper. Jurickson, A Bridge Profar. A Bridge Too Far there for those
that
who don't know.
That was good.
The Ghost and the Nick Markakeness.
The Ghost.
The Ghost in the Darkness.
Oh,
The Africa, the Two Lions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least.
Wasn't that a Val Kilmer film?
A Val Kilmer, yes, before the bloat, before the Coke bloat.
Right.
And with, what's his name? Michael?
Caine, right?
No.
Caine?
Michael, no? Basic Instinct. Michael?
Douglas.
Douglas. Strangely, not doing weird sex stuff in a movie.
Or
one of the few films that Michael Douglas did where he didn't do weird sex stuff. Look, he's on brand, okay? He likes.
Yeah, he's good.
He's
he
got
knows
a.
What he's doing.
It's a niche.
He knows his game.
He knows. Yeah, exactly. He knows where his bread gets buttered. All right, and then last but not least, Goodwill Hunter Renfro.
There you go. So that I think one of the things is people are listening to this are going to be like, "Who is this William Goldman?" Well, now you know.
Yeah. So William Goldman did not write Goodwill Hunting, though he is alleged to have rewritten it. He claims he just gave a couple of notes on the film. But after Ben Affleck and Matt Damon won the Academy Award for the script, it was like, well, these two jerks couldn't have written this script. And since they have never written anything good since, it was like, well, maybe there's some truth to William Goldman going in there.
Just a few notes. Just a few.
Fixing it. But apparently, he claims to his dying day, he claimed that all he did was give them like two notes about the script. He spent a day. He says, I spent a day with them, and that's it.
Wow. It was a very fruitful day.
Well, I mean, yeah. Apparently there was like supposed to be a bunch of stuff in the film about like the government was out to get him to get Good Will Hunting, and there's like chase scenes and action and blow explosions and all this stuff, and they took all that out.
That was probably a smart move.
Well, it was a very smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got him an Academy Award.
Yeah.
The two kids from Beantown. So this week we're going to, instead of going on for another 20 minutes, we're just going to move right on into extra innings, taking a look outside the world of baseball.
You're welcome, listeners.
Yes, they're like, oh, thank you, thank you. And some people who listen just for this part are going, oh, thanks, it's early than I'm used to.
Yeah.
So we'll satisfy your urge, and hopefully there's enough here to make you feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah. We won't be discussing Cardi B breaking up with her husband. Apparently they fell out of love. And I don't think there's more to be said about Cardi B and her husband.
Yeah, and there's too much Cardi B news in the headlines anyway.
We do get a lot of Cardi B news.
Yeah, it's like she's relevant. Why?
Because she's Cardi B.
I don't even know. Is she a singer? Is she an actress? Is she
Be honest with you, John, I'm not 100% sure Kardashian? Her place in the zeitgeist, but... I believe she's a singer.
Well,
she twerks.
She twerks. Yeah, she's one of the Bubblicious types. One of the Nicki Minaj types.
Yeah, I believe she is Minaj-esque.
Minaj-esque. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a place for that in this.
Absolutely.
World. Yeah.
This is America. Most there's a place for everybody.
So I saw something that Kylie Jenner, 2 years ago, launched some sort of a lip balm line, and it's worth $800 million.
That's right.
That's crazy.
That's right. Though the success that these women have had, born out of a sex tape.
Right.
Like, it's really, that's America right there. Like, that's really incredible. She's worth, that company is worth almost $1 billion. And this is a person who has no discernible skills, no discernible education.
Just popularity.
Or intelligence, like literally just popularity, because she is the sister of someone who is popular, who became popular from having a sex tape released by her mom, allegedly.
And it worked.
And it worked. They're all billionaires. It's amazing.
Yeah, and she was it Forbes or Entrepreneur? One of the magazines. Financial magazines gave her a top young entrepreneur designation.
Sure.
Of the year type of thing. Sure. It's like, no, she's not an entrepreneur. She's just popular.
Yeah.
And she leveraged her popularity into a huge fortune, which is smart. Somebody's counseling them in the right way. They've, for the, all the reasons why they're successful that are head scratching, it's brilliant at the same time. Smart.
I mean, it's a little bit sad, right? But at the same time, it's capitalism, and it's just the way it goes. Like, this is,
a lot of people love that stuff, and I don't understand it because I don't watch any of the reality. I've never watched a reality TV show. I don't get it. It's not my thing. So let's move on. I wanted to throw a little entertainment in there because I know a lot of people, you know, dig the entertainment vibe. Yeah. Because the other things we have on the list are all sports.
Speaking of entrepreneurs, right? You hear about this Jessica Simpson stuff?
No.
Now, by the way, there's a song called Jessica Simpson, I think by a guy named Adam Green, one of my favorite songs of all time.
I'll have to look that up.
It's so good. It's like a good song, but it's also so funny about her. Anyway, bless her heart. But she's one of these people who was able to parlay, as many people, Cheryl Teagues back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They parlay their popularity and their aesthetic into business, right? Into brands. And Jessica Simpson did that quite a bit. But her and Natalie Portman have had a little bit of a tiff because Natalie Portman was claiming that this sort of 90s idea or even 2000s idea of like this sort of virginal sex symbol girl thing was sort of antithetic maybe or to the women's movement or whatever. And like, but of course you can't really say that because like Jessica Simpson is empowered by being in a bikini and whatever. Right. So anyway, so they're kind of going back and forth and it's just like, hey, first of all, Natalie Portman made her bones by being a teenage girl that adults wanted to have dirty thoughts about. Like, let's slow down, slow your roll there, Natalie
In
Portman.
Two movies. Her, yeah, her claim to fame is two movies.
Pump your brakes, Billy Joel.
Right. It was The Professional and what was the one, the Boston
Beautiful
one?
Girls.
Beautiful Girls, which was a fantastic movie. Yeah. So, yeah, that's her claim to fame.
Anyway, so let's the pot, sometimes the pot calls the kettle, you know.
So what's happening with Jessica Simpson then?
So they were going back and forth about like.
Recently?
Yeah, just this is just like days ago or even yesterday. Jeez. So Jessica Simpson is like, well, no, I'm empowered and I can. And so Natalie Portman has apologized for making such a broad statement and blah, blah, blah.
About something that happened 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, but exactly. But she was sort of trying to make some really smart point, which wasn't a smart point. But at the same time, like, yeah, women are kind of sexualized overly. But it's part of the, unfortunately, it's part of the thing. It's part of why they're successful. So I mean, Kardashians, that's their thing, is being sexualized. Like, literally sexualized and having a camera rolling while they're
sexualizing.
I mean, some people call it intercourse. I call it sexualizing.
Right. That's good for them. Bravo. They're empowered to do
exactly.
their thing.
And that's, so that's the bigger issue.
So where do you stand on the baby it's cold outside debate?
Well, look. It is a little bit of a aggressive behavior song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think. But I think in the context of the time, you know, it wasn't. And you just have to look at it that way. Like,
and that's the way I initially felt about it. And then I read something where the Hays Commission made them take lines out of the song for the movie that it was in because it specifically mentioned her being drugged and passing out on the floor and slurring her words.
So it's the Bill Cosby theme song.
Right. The intention seemed to be a heck of a lot more than just an anachronism of the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was, but that's an unbelievable amount of debate going on and how raucous these defenders of
it's a terrible song, John.
It's one of those things when you hear it, you're kind of like, oh, Christmas is here.
Yes.
Not rape is happening.
But I think there's a lot of songs that are that way where you're like, oh, wait, this song is actually about suicide. Oh, wait, this song is actually about like, do we even know what teen spirit is and what it smells like? Do we even know what that's about?
No. Well, the MASH
Do we even know what Courtney Love was doing, hiring someone to kill Kurt Cobain? Is that what teen spirit is? I don't know. Right. Will anyone ever know the answer to that?
No.
Allegedly. Well,
like the MASH theme song, Suicide is Painless is the name of the song. And everybody knows. Na 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 na. Yep. That's what the song's about.
Yeah.
So a little bit
it's a terrible song.
Off script a little bit here, but let's move back into the sports world a little bit.
Oh, okay. Sports.
Seattle has been awarded the 32nd team in the NHL, which
now, is
exciting.
Is this
news.
A punishment for something that Seattle did wrong, or? Is this considered
you're not
a good
hockey
thing?
Fan? It's a good thing.
No, you know what? I actually just started getting a little bit back into hockey.
Hockey is by far the most exciting sport to see live, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree with that.
It's so much fun. I used to be a Panthers season ticket holder and used to go about a dozen games a year. And the first time I went to a live hockey game, I'm like, whoa, I've been missing out. This is spectacular. Such fast-paced game and a lot of fun. And, timing is great that, I'm not in Seattle anymore and they get a team.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe they're like, you finally got rid of John Sumple?
Well, team.
Here's a hockey team.
Here's a hockey team.
Maybe you should move to Oakland for a little while. Or go to Portland and then just for like a year.
And then, they'll be there.
Then leave, they'll get a baseball team.
Yeah.
You should hire yourself out to these
I should.
These places. These guys that got money.
I'm here for you. Portland.
Give me a quarter mil to work your magic. It's like that movie Good Luck Chuck, right?
Right.
Where like he has sex with a girl and then afterwards the girl meets someone that they're going to marry. So it's like the whole point of the movie. Anyway, it's really not that great a film, but that's the whole thing. So you could be that guy. You could be Good Luck John.
Right.
You go have sex with the city.
For hire. Right.
In a way, right?
I'm available.
You can sexualize the city.
I can whore myself out. I can sexualize Seattle.
That's right. Go sexualize Portland. Go sexualize San Antonio.
There you go. And
Raleigh
Vegas
Durham
is on a roll. Raleigh Durham.
You could do a three-way with Raleigh.
Really? Right.
Raleigh Durham.
Let them battle it out. So here's a big shocker. USA Gymnastics files for bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's a sad one.
Yeah. That would
be the
personification of a shit show.
I mean, it's one of those stories where you start to hear parts of it and like you just get like 5% of the story and you're just disgusted by everything.
Yeah, everything as it unfolds.
And it's just the tip of the iceberg belittle the, I mean, it's so horrifying. And then just like how many people like turn the other way.
It just keeps going.
And it was so pervasive and it was so.
No,
oh, man.
That's the bigger thing.
Yeah.
Is that how many people knew about it and turned the other cheek.
And for what? Like, to what gain? Like, come on, people, do better.
Yeah.
So now it's
there's
bankrupt.
Human beings
I mean,
involved,
basically what that means is like that company is bankrupt. So then someone will start a new company that handles USA Gymnastics, but it'll be like, you know, American Gymnastics or US of A Gymnastics, LLC.
Or Gymnastics USA.
Or Gymnastics USA. Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming. The XFL is back in the news. It's for real.
2020.
Yeah. And is what's his name? The voice of wrestling.
Vince
heading
McMahon.
This up again. Vince McMahon is doing it again.
I think he's a part of this, right? Isn't he?
I think he was the one mentioned about a year ago that I'm going
right.
to bring this baby back.
That's right.
I miss
it. And what perfect timing. 2020, we're going to have another presidential election that's going to be a complete madhouse.
Right. It's going to be WrestleMania.
It's going to be basically WrestleMania, and we're going to have the XFL. They're going to have spears out on the field, T-shirt cannons. The things that we want for baseball, they're going to have drones.
They're going to have it. I think. Yeah. Just imagine, though, where we are now. We're 10, 15 years later with all the technology advances we have, with all the social media.
I want cameras on players. I want players tweeting while they're playing on the field. I want it all. I want to see a Twitch broadcast of the quarterback while he's in the huddle.
That's awesome.
Yeah, all of it.
Twitch me. Looking forward to it. He hate me's coming back.
He's going to be an announcer as soon as he gets out of jail.
What's coming up next?
Will Bryce find the right match? Will Manny overcome his fear of hustle? Will JT escape his captors in Miami? Find out on the next episode of The Winter Meetings of Our Lives.